Chapter 12. Swinging Chains and Slamming Doors. Rennie sprang to a sitting position. Blackness enclosed her and she clutched her blanket. Demons were tearing wildly through the garden. Red-eyed and gruesome, they smashed around, swinging silvery chains and ripping at the plants. "Help us, help us," the plants cried. But a black door slammed, and then there was nothing. "Certainly not," said a sharp voice. She drew up her knees and bit into her blanket. Ouch! She'd bitten her fingers. She looked around. It was only her bedroom that was dark, and Loretta was breathing deeply in the bed beside her. But she felt sweaty. Though she could still see the images of the nightmare, her breath began to come more easily. She could smell a strong salt breeze from the sea, and there was a high whistling as the wind screeched through the corners of the house. A small twig with leaves battered the window and flew off again. There was a storm outside. "The tomatoes!" She ran downstairs in her nightgown, forgetting shoes and robe. The back door nearly flew off the hinges when she opened it. The plants in the garden were whipping about wildly, but there was no rain, only violet wind. One of the bean trestles had fallen, but she fought her way to her favorite tomato vine. It was standing. The windbreak she'd built so well was taking most of the wind, but it thrashed about uncertainly. How long would it last? She stood behind it and spread out her nightgown, trying to break the wind herself. "You can't get through. I'll keep you away forever. My tomatoes will be the best in the world." A weed that grew over the bracelet grave was being blown to the ground over and over again. Rennie had a feeling that the bracelet had come undug. She searched the ground with her eyes. The wind whipped at her shoulders, but she saw nothing except darkness and bare feet frozen to the soil. Where was the bracelet? She felt certain it was lying behind the plant. She had to find it before someone else did. But she couldn't leave the tomato vine. Tears steamed down her cheeks. Her hair beat up and down, stinging the sides of her face as it fell. "Rennie, for heaven's sakes!" Rick came running towards her. He took off his robe and wrapped it around her, then picked her up and carried her to the house. She buried her face in his shoulder and cried until she could cry no more. They were sitting in the kitchen by then. Slowly, the warmth from Rick's arms seeped into her. Pictures from the nightmare drifted in and out behind her closed eyelids, and the memory of the wind on her shoulders made her shudder, as if nothing worse could happen. She whispered, "My tomato vine is going to die. Your windbreak is strong, Rennie. It's good protection." She believed him because she couldn't stand not to, nor could she stand to have anyone know how frightened she was. "Please don't tell Mama about tonight, our secret," he promised. After a few hours sleep in her own bed, she woke up and pulled on shorts and a blouse. Still barefoot, she went outside in the cool, wet grass of the morning. What would she find? She walked around the garden to the fair side where the tomato vine was. To her amazement, it looked beautiful. In fact, most of the garden had survived the windstorm well. It gave her courage to keep up with the breadsticks. Later that day, as she pushed and pulled the soft, smooth dough, nightmare thoughts mixed with everyday thoughts like in a painting. They were the demons again, but this time they were throwing around the bracelet, not a chain. The garden was being destroyed. She had saved it, and lucky, too, because everyone else was slamming doors, just like when she tried to sell breadsticks. Only those doors didn't really slam, she knew that. They just closed firmly. Sometimes in the middle of sentences, or with just a shake of a head, sometimes a curtain at a window was pulled back, and then the door never opened at all. On a gray Monday, a wet fog floated around Rennie. It misted her nose with a soft coolness. For a moment, she smiled. But then she saw little drops of water on her crisp brown crusts. The bread would turn soggy. She wiped at the droplets with her hand, but the water just spread out. She could hide the bread under the big white sweater, but she wasn't wearing it. Suddenly, her arms got cold. She'd have to finish her selling quickly. She pressed the bag of bread close to her chest and began walking fast. All the people at this end of the block had stopped buying from her a long time ago, so she kept going. The drops of mist were getting a little bigger. It was turning to rain. She leaned forward so the rain would fall on the back of her shoulders instead of the bread, but it didn't help. At the end of the street were some mothers she barely knew. Their children were much younger than Rennie, and they went to the Protestant church. Still, sometimes they bought from her. They were urging, like little kids on tricycles, to move along if she could only keep the bread safe until she got to them. She unbuttoned the front of her blouse and shoved the bag next to her skin. She kept moving fast. The sharp paper bag edges and bread crusts prickled. "Excuse me," she said, catching her breath as she caught up to the people. They had opened umbrellas and were walking in two tight groups to keep out of the rain. Rennie put a smile and pushed her discomfort away. "Would you like some bread today? Maybe the kids are hungry." "Yes," said some of the little ones. "Rennie's breadsticks, we want some." "But where are they?" One of the mothers was eyeing Rennie's blouse. "Oh, here." Rennie pulled them out. "I had to keep them dry." "Under your shirt?" The woman threw her hand to her chest as if stricken. Rennie's mouth dropped open. She took a step back and swallowed hard. The other mother narrowed her eyes and pushed her face towards Rennie's. Her voice was low and hard. "We can't eat them when they've been next to your skin. Haven't you got more sense than that?" "Witches, screeching, scratching." Rennie stepped back again, then turned to run. But there was a tricycle right there. She tripped over it, banging a hip on the handlebar and landing with a knee and both hands on the sidewalk. Her breadsticks were lying on the ground, cracked, and the nickels spread away from her in a nearly straight line. The pavement was gray with wetness. The child on the trike screamed. Though she wanted to crumple up right there, she pulled herself up and ran, leaving everything. How could she have been so stupid? How could she have left her nickels? Could she run fast enough to reach the garden before she cried? But she met Mama on the sidewalk going to the bakery. They stopped. Rennie bit her trembling lip while Mama looked her over. Then Rennie burst into tears. Inside, Mama got a soft cloth and washed her wounds with warm, soapy water. Then they sat close together on the sofa. How could Rennie tell why she felt so badly? But Mama wasn't rushing her. She seemed to be thinking hard. Finally, she said, "That's the end of your selling." Rennie pulled away from her and cried. "Why?" "Because you've gone too many people you shouldn't have gone to. And look how unhappy you are." "But I have to. You can't make me stop. I won't stop." "What will you do, miss, is stop shouting and obey me." Rennie ran outside and stomped her feet on the back steps. She pounded her fist on the railing and then To calm herself, she folded her arms tightly across her chest. The rain pattered her skin in cold drops. She walked slowly to the tomato rows. She peered at them intently until her eyes fell on a huge green tomato caterpillar. She pulled it off and rushed it into the mud with her heel. "Haven't you got more sense than to eat my tomatoes?" she hollered. She turned around to find Mama standing there watching her anger. She hung her head. She could feel the squeak in her own voice. "I need to earn money, and I need Papa to be proud of me." "Papa is very proud of you. A letter came from him. Wait till you read it. And listen, I've saved all your nickels. Let's use them to buy sugar and almonds and make Papa some amaretti. We'll send him a package tied with ribbons. He'll love that." "Can we?" Rennie brightened. "Yes. Now come in and out of the rain." Inside, Mama pointed to the part in the letter that Rennie should read. It was four lines just for her. "Renetta, now you are like me. You see how good the silky dough makes you feel. It was a lucky thing they brought me to Petawawa so you could learn about bread. I am so proud of all your help, my little porcupine." Rennie's face glowed. "Does kneading the dough make you feel good?" Mama asked. Rennie thought about it. "At first it does, but I get tired of it really fast. Then it is time to play again." Rennie nodded. Then, seeing Mama's warm face, she hugged her. She was feeling relieved and sad all at once. She had the garden, which was plenty of work, and that was very special to Papa. But giving up bread making meant completely giving up her efforts with the neighbors.